Apex. Apex. Yes, Apex. One more Apex? That's right. Season 4 is coming, and you know we gotta talk about it. Me and my boy Alex, you know we some Apex players, and we gots to give you the details on what we know about Season 4. Because we're gonna be playing it a lot, but not Kondagawa Jet Girls a lot. Okay, maybe more than that. So it's going to be a good show today. First half, we got that for you. And for the second half of this show, we got some Japan culture life going on because McDonald's doesn't want to give up limited edition burgers. They just keep us coming back. If the cream pie wasn't enough, they're going to give us something else crazier. That's right. So stay tuned. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at UGP_cast. We post some cool stuff every week, doing as best as we can. And plus, remember everyone, share the news with your friends, tell them about the podcast, and thanks as always for listening. You guys enjoy the show. Everyone, welcome to episode number 19 of the Unknown Games podcast. Yes, I'm back from the Kondagawa land of Jet Girls Heaven. I'm Adrian, and this is a podcast where we talk about Japanese games and also our lives in Japan. I've said R a couple of times, but without saying who I'm talking about, me and my co-host, Alex.
What's up, I'm Alex.
I can change this intro, I can flub it all I want to, and I still just get the same thing. What's up?
Yeah.
I'm Alex.
You could replace me, like, after, let's say, 50 to 100 episodes, when I've said enough words, you just could just, like, just cut all my responses together. You can say whatever you want and have me be like, I can respond however you want.
I can just make a soundbite, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's, you know, consistency is a good thing in the world today. You're consistent, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But thank you all for listening to the show. And if you're longtime listeners, which we've been doing this for 18 weeks now, so I guess, yeah, that's pretty long time. Thanks for joining us. If you're just now joining us, well, we're very happy to have you. And as always, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at UGP_cast. I almost forgot that. Say it every episode. But be sure to follow us. We do some nice little posts there and let you know what we're doing in Japan. It's always awesome. And today we have a great show. I say great because some Apex news broke out. Alex has been playing Ryza. I think he finished it maybe. Oh,
yeah, I'm finished it last weekend, so I can put that game to bed.
Exactly. And your boy...
Figuratively, yeah.
Figuratively. You didn't literally put... Oh, if you literally put Ryza to bed...
Yeah, I just tucked her in, yeah.
You just tucked her right in. And yeah, I went to Evo. Your boy Adrian went to Evo. So we're going to talk about that in the next segment or in the second half of the show. So look forward to that. But first off, we're going to start off with some Apex Season 4. Finally, I'm ready.
Yeah, it's starting soon.
Starting soon. We got Apex Season 4 starting on September 4th. Holy crap, I didn't realize.
You mean February 4th, not September. Oh.
You're right.
That would be a bit of a wait, but yeah.
You're right. It is February 4th, but I'm happy because season 3 was a little bit longer than the other seasons, just by like, I think a month or a couple weeks or so, but they had the kind of unveiling of season 4 on their YouTube channel or their kind of dev chat.
And yeah, they talked about a live stream or something.
Yeah. And they talked about what they're going to be bringing. Like, first of all, we had Forge. The man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
they announced the new legend, they announced the new gun, and they announced the changes that are coming to ranked mode.
Which are pretty big. And so first of all, we had Forge, who is a, you know, the first time I saw him, I was like, Gibraltar's cousin fused with Doomfist. He was, you know, he's a mixed martial arts fighter who graduated to become, you know, kind of the people's champ, as they said. And, you know, he's earned his way to the Apex games. Wants to be a legend.
Right.
And for the longest time, even before, you know, season four was announced, like months before, we had the Halloween event back in October, and there was a character called Revenant, who is like evil Pathfinder Jason killer dude.
Right. He's a simulacrum, which is, if you played Titanfall, it's like a robot, basically, that has a personality. Like, they've transplanted, well, it's Titanfall in those games, so they would take a pilot and they would put it into an artificial body.
Yeah.
And those bodies are made by, I don't want to say it's Hammond, but it might be. But
it might be the company that's sponsoring Forge.
Anyways, so because Apex is in the Titanfall universe, like, any longtime fans are familiar with that type of thing, and that's what Revenant is. But he's
crazy. We don't know how old he is mentally. And we don't know what he does, because on the, you know, Halloween event, it seems like he was the one resurrecting dead legends to essentially, you played as zombies versus the legends, essentially. So, like,
yeah, it was kind of weird.
I felt like maybe he was kind of doing some necromancing kind of thing going on, but I don't know about the Titanfall lore.
No, that's not Titanfall. It doesn't happen in Titanfall.
That happens in like Dungeons and Dragons. It's wrong game.
Yeah.
But I have to say, so the entire community, leaks on leaks on leaks, I mean, pictures, everything. We're thinking Revenant, and we get Forge. Mm-hmm. And it's like 2 days later. 2 days later, we get, you know, Forge's background. He's chilling out, getting this interview done. He's like, yeah, I'm about to become this next legend. And when you see me, guys, I'm going to hit the ground running. And as soon as power goes out, Revenant comes up and shanks him. Killed him. And there's no more Forge.
Right. Well, he's presumed dead. And
he's
actually,
if you go
into Apex right now, you go to sorting facility, in sorting right now, there's like a TV interview set,
mm-hmm.
and at the set is a gold death box, so you can go there and you can actually just get Forge's like gun charm.
And it's pretty funny too, because like I love how Apex does that in game. You know, before Crypto released, we had Crypto inside.
Yeah, he was there. He was actually in the game. Yeah,
he was there doing some hacking things, and I think Rafe's part of one of Rafe's levels. But then now, you know, Forge, he's dead. You get to check out his death box, and they even give like a nice little obituary to him once you get the gun charm,
right?
Back at the end, but it's pretty cool. And so I guess we're gonna get Forge. Like, I don't know, we're gonna get Revenant.
I would be okay with both of those characters. The thing about like Revenant, if he does become a legend, is like, I don't, what's his ability? Because during the Halloween event, it was like,
telling you,
raise,
man,
the dead, essentially.
Necromancy.
Yeah. So I was like, is he going to raise the dead? So I was like thinking, like, maybe he'll have like a res ability. Like, he'll be able to res kind of like Mercy style from Overwatch.
Dude, that would be pretty hype.
That's his ultimate. Yeah, and that would be his ultimate. I don't know. We don't know if the legend is going to be Revenant. We don't know if it's still going to be Forge, because he's dead. We don't know if he's going to come back as a simulacrum, kind of like what Revenant is. Yeah,
that's right. And I remember we were talking before the show, and we had this moment of, well, it wasn't actually a moment. Me and Alex don't share moments. We're friends, but we don't share moments.
Sure.
Wow. But you were talking about how the new changes to the rank system might be the way that they introduce Forge and Revenant, or vice versa, however they want to do
it. Right. So we met Revenant as a character at King's Canyon at night during the Halloween event.
Right.
And during the ranked season this time around, the first half of it is World's Edge, and then the second half is at King's Canyon.
Right.
So I was thinking, like, when they take the season to King's Canyon, maybe they'll introduce Revenant at that time, because that's where we last saw him.
And I think that's the thing, is that he said, like, he's waiting for the Legends to return. So, Legends, when you get back to King's Canyon, I'm going to be here, and some things are going to be different. Nothing's going to be the same. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to having this kind of story develop between the Legends and also Revenant, because they don't really have a kind of nemesis at the moment. You know, the games are still the games. And with Forge, they're still the games, you know? It's still, it's like Forge is Mirage.
Right, he's a new contender, right?
Right.
The thing about Revenant as a character, yeah, he's not a legend. He's not a contender. So he's kind of there to like mess the games up, it seems like.
And Crypto's just there to stay out of troubles.
It's kind of weird that a battle royale has a story. You know what I mean?
Well, Fortnite has a story, right?
Fortnite does have a story. I don't play Fortnite, so I don't know like the lore of Fortnite. But Fortnite's huge, you know?
It's super huge. Every time like an event happens or a story change, like the black hole thing that went down, like,
yeah,
what on earth? Everyone's just waiting for a black hole to open and just sit there as they get transported, God knows where.
But like, you can't go anywhere really and not see Fortnite merchandise, whether that's figures or clothing or whatever.
That's true.
But since I don't play Fortnite, I have no idea what the story is. I'm like left to piece together with my imagination what the lore of Fortnite is supposed to be. All I know is that there's a banana guy, there's a pinata for some reason. I think there's like a unicorn or something. And there's like the donut shop is significant for some reason. Like, I don't understand anything about this friggin' like story. Like, it just seems so out there and so random. So like, I can't even begin to imagine what the story of Fortnite is supposed to be.
So comparing the story of Fortnite to Kingdom Hearts 3 with its new DLC.
Oh my God, let's not get into that.
We're not going to get into that. But I think that's, you know, like you said, it's something that hasn't really... It's something that I think keeps players invested in wanting to know about the game even more. And that, for me, that's that story and that lore is really fun to see develop. And especially when the trailers come out, that was the same thing that hooked me with Overwatch and even Destiny. You know, Destiny
Overwatch though has like Blizzard. Lore. Blizzard in general though has like really, really good cinematics. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the StarCraft cinematics?
Yes.
Yes. They're really good. They're like, you know, Blizzard can and should just make an animated movie, because like all their cinematics are really good. You remember, you saw the Diablo 4 teaser. It wasn't even a trailer.
Oh my goodness. That, dude, the Diablo 4 trailer, that freaked me out. Like,
yeah, it's really, you know.
It's really well done.
And like,
they make those moments.
And, you know, and Blizzard is really good at like what they, you know, what they do. You can take that Diablo 4 trailer and look at that and be like, oh, that's so gritty. That's so dark. And it's so well done. And then you look at Overwatch, which is, in comparison, way brighter.
Way brighter, happier, yeah. Of course.
And they're just really, really good at cinematics. But anyways, Blizzard should you know, make a movie.
Hey, Blizzard, if you're listening to this, make a movie. Make a movie for us and the fans.
Yeah. But,
you know, and that's the thing. Once you have really good characters, and I think that's what they even said in the dev, you know, diary on that live stream, is that they were making a game with characters. And that's one of the things that they had to get right, is when you see these characters, you need to attach yourself to them, their personalities, their play styles. And I was actually on their Instagram page today because, yeah, we have an Instagram. And I was trying to figure out, like, okay, how does Instagram work in some ways? Like, how are different pages laid out from companies to people? And their Instagram page for Apex is actually pretty cool. Like, all the story highlights are all the different legends. So they're all categorized and they have their own little highlight reels that they go down. And I think that's pretty cool. Like, it's really nice. But anyways, more stuff about season 4, of course. You said there's a new gun. I believe it's a sniper rifle.
Yeah, I don't know how much, like, I don't really know about it. I watched the stream myself, but they said it's like a sniper rifle with a charge mechanic for some reason.
It's a charge. So it's a bolt action rifle. So similar to the longbow, but you can choose how long you want to charge the shot up. So you can deal more damage with it or less, but they didn't say anything if it's like hit scan or what. It's just,
it's probably
something.
It probably, I'm imagining it to be like a Kraber, but maybe with less bullet drop and less damage.
Hmm. I could see that.
That's how I'm seeing the gun. There's not a lot of hit scan guns in Apex. I don't think there's any hit scan guns.
There's just one, right? It's just a Havoc with Select Fire, right?
Well, I think the Select Fire Havoc, it's very close to hit. It might be hit scan, but I think it's technically not. It has a tiny bit of drop, but it's so close to hit scan that it might as well be hit scan.
Okay. So that's all that's happening, Apex. Of course, the rank changes are pretty big, but I don't think we want to get into a lot of them right now. The main thing just being that there's a new tier. There's Master Rank,
yeah,
which is below Apex Predator, which means right. Predator is now only the top 500 people on that platform,
right?
If I remember, or so in Apex Predator.
You can't boot it out. If you're like 500, you can easily like lose your rank.
You can lose your rank, but you'll never go below Master. And I think that's pretty cool, having that extra tier in a way to kind of separate people. So those extremely good players, please stay there. Don't come near me. Don't smurf. You don't need to. Don't come near me.
Yeah, that'd be kind of mean.
It's like, I can't control it. I can't handle that. Yeah, I think that was the main change that they made to the season. And of course, like you said, they're rolling it out in two different parts with the map change.
Yeah, the ranked, what is it? The ranked season is in two parts.
Right,
But I think we're going to get changes to World's Edge, like, probably next week. Like, the map will change a tiny bit.
I hope it gets smaller.
Oh, really?
Just like, literally half of it gets blown up or something. That map is huge. I mean, what changes do you want to see?
I don't know if I want, like, changes per se to World's Edge, but I just like change. I like being wild and, you know, entertained. So I want to go into Apex and be like, oh, that's cool or whatever. So, you know.
That really does sound like you, Alex. Chaos and excitement.
I love surprises. Chaos. Yeah, I love, that's me, man. I love chaos, you know me.
Alex is about that chaos. And there were a couple modes and... Yeah, we've done our Apex segment, but it was a lot of fun. I got to say, the last tale of the Apex Grand Soiree, I can't say it, Soiree. There we go. Was a lot of fun. We had the dummy mode, and we had, of course, King's Canyon.
The dummy mode was crazy, dude. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was
random.
That.
It was random as random.
Well, it was I think it was purposely random, but I laughed the first time. So I was with my friend, and we really didn't know what was going on. And he's like, what's your ability? And he's like, oh, I can summon ammo. I'm like, let me try. I'm like, oh, I summon a shield cell. And then we found out that it's actually just always a random item.
Yeah, it's all I just spat out some ammo, then a syringe, then a shield cell. And I had no clue what was happening when it said, like, is it a birthday pinata? Like a pinata.
Oh, as your ultimate, right?
Yeah. And so we were just popping the pinata like, 1, 2, 3, and there's so many items around.
No, that was fun. The one thing that bothered me about the dummy mode was that there's no lines, there's no spoken lines.
It is kind of interesting. There's actually text on the side that's like,
yeah,
let's jump, let's do it, good luck.
And there's no announcer either, so it's so quiet.
I did find that the text was actually kind of really nice. It felt like I was actually communicating with my teammates without actually communicating with them. Because I wasn't playing on a squad, so it was kind of refreshing in that sense.
That's funny. I don't know. I got the opposite effect because it was so impersonal. You try to say thank you with your quip, and it's just like thank you, like in text, it just says thank you.
It's okay. You're a dummy.
I noticed that one thing. It was kind of bugged. So you know how you can ping that you need something.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed a shotgun bolt on my Peacekeeper,
right.
And then I opened my inventory. Tab on the keyboard, and then I pinged the bolt.
Yeah,
but instead of saying like I need a bolt, it said Peacekeeper. So
you just need the gun. You just need the gun.
It seemed like I was pinging a Peacekeeper on the ground, but I was actually just saying that I trying to say that I needed a bolt.
Oh man,
so well, it was really irritating. Yeah,
it can't be perfect. We know these modes. They're for fun. They're for fun.
Yeah.
But that's. Kind of all we have on the Apex news. We're definitely going to have more once the new season launches February 4th. So we're going to be playing that, I know. We'll probably squad up together and get some fun in there. One game we're not squatting up in is freaking Kandagawa Jet Girls. Alex, what's up with that? Why you leave me out? Why you leave me like that? Why you leave me hanging?
I was going to buy it, but then I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's used, he'll tell you what. If I go out on the weekend, I'll go to a game store and I'll pick it up, used maybe.
This is podcast. Just, you
know, I'm on Amazon right now. And
did it go down by $10 again? It's like $50 now.
Oh yeah, it's cheap.
I've been playing it still and progressing through the story. Like I said, the characters are cute, the story is fun. I just met like the Garou kind of, I don't know, how would you say Garou in,
like, in English?
Yeah, the Garou characters.
It's a really unique concept, I think. Garou, I think, comes from the English word gal, but yeah. Even then, that doesn't invoke image. So if you don't know a lot about Japanese culture, you're probably like, what the hell is a gal? But I would say it's like a girl who's kind of like really style conscious. Maybe they really care about fashion, how they look. If you think of, let's say, what, Harajuku, like the stereotype of Harajuku and the people that go there,
that's a good way. And but it's never like high tier fashion per se, like,
oh, not like, may, yeah, not like, yeah, France fashion, but like,
yeah, you'll see them in like leopard print skinned, or
yeah,
you know, with kind of some big sunglasses. Literally, they can refer to themselves as party people.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I ran into some girls that are doing that at their school. I feel like their school was just full of Garous running around doing jet ski racing. And
weird, but yeah,
it's weird. We have the girls from California, as I told you. But they all have their different personalities. I've been enjoying it, going through like literally one little section of story a day. That's what I'm doing. It's like reading a book.
Is it a lot of text?
It's not a lot of text. I mean, you can actually get through, honestly, it's about a 5-minute conversation or less, and then the race, which is actually even shorter than the conversation.
Because then
and there's like a small little, you know, thing of text afterwards. Last night, it was essentially me and my girl were like, oh, I'm so nervous. I just want to exchange contact information with you. And that's the whole thing. Like, she was afraid to do that. And the girls pop up and they're like, oh, we might as well just confess to her that you love her. Anyways, they had a race to settle that for some reason. Don't ask me why. At the end of the day, you know, my girl, she got her information, you know, switched up. So they're now friends. Super good friends.
That was like a chapter?
That was like a chapter, yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. How's Ryza? How's number one girl?
Well, I finished Ryza on the weekend, which is good. It's a lot longer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm dumb and I can't find it, I can't find a clock. Like, you know, most RPGs, it's like you played for this hour. Or when you save your game on your save file, it shows your total time.
Save file?
I can't find that. I have no idea how long I played the game for. But
you're playing on PC, right? Or PS4?
PS4, yeah. If it was PC, I could just check on Steam, but I'm playing it on PS4. So I was like halfway through the game at first, and I stopped playing it for a bit, and then I checked a walkthrough of like all the chapters, and I was like, oh, I'm actually halfway. Let's just finish this. Let's just do this game. But then the chapters got longer for some reason. Also, because I was just doing more stuff, like I spent hours crafting. That took up a chunk of time. But I'm done the game now. I have to say that I liked the game way more than I thought I would, because I just didn't think that, you know, a game like Ryza would, you know, take a lot of my time. I kind of viewed it as like a lesser RPG, especially because it's literally next to Persona on my shelf right now.
Yeah, next to Big Daddy, Persona, and any Western RPG, you know. Like you said on a couple other podcasts, that Ryza feels like it's made in the PS2 kind of era. So it takes kind of what it does really well and does that really well, but there's not much else around it. Like, I can tell you, just watching the game, the battle system looks fun. The battle system to me looked like a lot of fun. Everything else around it, it's like, oh, you're walking around in a world. There's not much there. It's kind of pretty, yeah, and you might run into some enemies.
Yeah, yeah. So the environments, like, they're not, yeah, they're really basic. And the areas that you could call a dungeon, are, you know, they're just really, I guess, basic. They really do remind me of early, not early, but just like, you know, PS2 level RPGs. So that's fine. But yeah, the battle system is a lot of fun. I do get FF13 vibes from it. It's not as deep, which is a good thing, because I love that battle system. But it's not as deep by any means. So instead of taking a paradigm and shifting it and having all your characters change roles,
right,
you're just shifting between your three characters. So you're shifting between, like, you're just taking direct control of these individual characters, and they all have their own skills and stuff.
And I like how, like, when you take control of them, the camera shifts to their point of view. Mm-hmm. And it's super dynamic. Like, when they're doing their supers, I mean, I don't guess they're super moves. They're just, you know, they're just normal hype moves. It's moving. And the other characters, you can still see them interacting and attacking the boss or, you know, the enemy character. So it's really nice to see that. And just, it never takes you out of the experience, but brings you further into it.
Yeah, and there's a ton of, like, low angles on purpose. So Ryza has a lot of attacks.
Bude.
And the camera just cuts in really low. And her ass is just, like,
it's there.
It's pretty much the center of the screen.
You got to stay grounded, everyone. Got to stay grounded.
So I didn't buy the swimsuit DLC.
Which,
maybe I should, but, you know. It's not cheap, by the way.
Oh, it's not cheap? It's like, how much is it?
I think it's like 660 yen per one swimsuit.
So and it's like 18, 20 bucks almost for everyone?
Yeah, for all the characters. Yeah, more than that, probably, yeah.
Just get Ryza, see what it's like, and if it's amazing, then you can tell us.
It's kind of like the DLC costumes for the Fate game, so Fate Extella. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it.
No.
But, you know, it's on PS4, also Switch and PC, and you can get DLC for it. And, of course, the swimsuit DLC is pricey, and you can either buy it as a pack, or you can just buy just the one character that you want.
Which I think is the best decision.
But even so, the pack is not cheap. And I think a lot of the characters are split between different packs. So, like, you know, you want one character and you want another character, but they're in different packs. They're in different packs, yeah.
Oh, man. Money. It's booty and money.
Yeah,
That's how they get you. That's how they get you. And I think that's hopefully how we got you this segment. Wait.
Yeah. No.
That would be strange if I said, I hope we hooked you with booty and money on this wonderful podcast. Anyways, everyone, wow. We're going to move on to the next segment after the break. So be sure to come back for some Evo Japan, Ghost in the Shell, and some other Japanese news, because it's been a great week for news. So we'll see you on the other side of the break. All right, everyone, welcome back from the break. We are here and we've got some news and we've got some Evo Japan stuff to talk about, because it's been awesome, awesome time for myself. I have to say I did very well at Evo Japan.
Yeah, Alex, the numbers look good on paper.
The numbers look amazing on paper.
For sure.
I mean, I went there and out of 500, three competitors in Soul Calibur.
Uh-huh.
I'm rank 129.
That's really good. So you're among the top 200 players for Soul Calibur.
I'm among the top 200 players for Soul Calibur. And I got to say, in the world, I'm one of the best of the best. You can't touch me, anyone.
Well, except for the people above you, but yeah.
Yeah, they're all killers. All killers. They're Apex Predators. They're Soul Calibur Predators. Mm-hmm. That sounds so weird. But it was an interesting experience.
So tell us how it went. I know how this story goes, because I was actually looking at your bracket when you're competing in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, that's weird. And then you made it pretty far. But tell everyone how your matches went.
So if you're familiar with the fighting game community, you know that every community has its own flavor, right? And the Soul Calibur flavor is, we have to continue. You know, we ask ourselves, is your soul still burning? And 5 months after the game comes out, typically no one's soul is burning. Everyone stopped, except for like a few people. And they're playing online, but the online is pretty bad. Soul Calibur 6 has really good online, so that's kind of fixed the issue. So I get there, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm just hoping to get a win. And I'm hoping to see some cool, you know, Soul Calibur legends out there, because the community is very small. I get there at 10 o'clock. Lo and behold, I'm waiting for the matches to start. And not my entire pool, about half of the pool did not show up for my round.
They just didn't bother competing that day?
They just ghosted. I don't know what happened to them. It was so strange. So in America, if you do not, or I guess anywhere else probably that's running a tournament, if you don't show up after one call, like, is this person here?
You're disqualified. Yeah.
Dude, Japan, 20 minutes. They were calling these people's names out for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's really lenient here.
20 minutes of calling people's names out. So the tournament is delayed by 20, 30 minutes to start with. Not only did half of my pool not come, half of the other pool didn't come for the first round. So like out of 30 people, there's like 15 just not there, essentially. And I get all the way up to winner's final because my first person was DQ'd.
And then the second person, like, they were there for the first match, but then they didn't bother showing up the second time, so then they got DQ'd.
And it was, okay, so this is where it got weird. I didn't know that they were there for the first match. And in fact, like, I actually did play a match after that. In winner's finals, I went up against, and this was the craziest thing. When we got there, there were, like, French people next to me. And, you know, Europe is a huge, especially France, is a huge scene for Soul Calibur. But I was just like, are they all competing? Because there's like six or seven of you.
Uh-huh.
But it was just a couple. And I saw one guy who was playing Astaroth. And I was like, dude, I've seen this dude before. I've seen him somewhere before. And I couldn't put my hand on it until I faced him, got bodied, went to Losers Finals, looked the man up, and found, it turns out, I had seen him on like the making like Soul Calibur 6 documentary.
So he played a really good player.
He's one of those legendary players back from Soul Calibur 2, 3, just laying it down on people. And after that, you know, Kayane comes up and she's talking to him, and because they're all, it's the French team. I was just standing next to the French team, so I talked to him, made friends. He was a really cool guy, Saito-san. If you ever run into him. I also ran into Gio. Shout outs to him from the US. Yeah, second round, the person didn't come. So I made it past my first round of pools.
By not doing anything, essentially.
By not doing anything. Nothing at all. Two opponents did not show up. One opponent did, bodied me. And I, you know, finished up at about 10, I guess. Or 12. And then my next match is at 4? 4 o'clock.
Oh my god, so there's a huge gap here.
There's a huge gap. In between that time, you know, I met up and saw Tasty Steve. Huge, huge fan of him. Awesome commentator in the FGC. I watched some Guilty Gear. I did get hands-on with Guilty Gear. Maybe next time I'll talk about it. Strive was amazing. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, yeah. No, that's good to hear.
And, you know, I saw Daigo in the flesh. Never seen him before. Dude's
you didn't
really
talk
sharp.
To him, I bet. You
I did not talk. The man had an army around him. An army of people.
Okay.
But Sako was, like, right next to me, like, just... with no army around him, like no one cared, I guess. So anyways, I get to the next pools and I am once again waiting. I'm sitting here like, seriously? So everyone didn't know what was happening because some people hadn't shown up. So they decided, okay, we'll start winner's finals instead. Since your opponent hasn't come and someone else's didn't, we'll start winner's finals. An hour later, at 4 o'clock, they finish winners. And my dude, who I've been waiting for, shows up out of nowhere. No, where this dude had come from. Shows up in the referee or whoever. They're just people, you know, they're not experienced in fighting game tournaments. Anyways, yeah, they're like, hey, okay, yeah, you can play. Your match is good now. Please fight.
I can't believe they let him compete. Like, if it was any other tournament, you'd be like, no, you're out. You didn't show up for your match.
For an hour?
Yeah, I can't believe they let him compete.
So he competed. We fought. I took one round. So that I accomplished my goal. I accomplished my goal of the day of meeting some new friends in the Soul Calibur community, getting a round off somebody, and having a great day. But I lost that match and felt salty as fuck. I was like, I wish I could body him in real life. And he didn't even like shake my hand. He didn't say like, nice job.
Oh, he didn't shake your hand? Oh, that's bad. He didn't do anything.
He just walked away and he went to his friend and he just was like, oh, I won or something. I was like, you showed up an hour late. What the heck? Japan, Evo, get that stuff on lock.
Yeah, I feel like he should have been disqualified.
And the crazy thing is, if he was disqualified, I really would have been going up against killers. Because people in that block who I was standing next to were people in the top eight.
Well, then maybe it's a good thing. He saved you then. No, he saved you from...
It was a good thing. I think it was. It was good.
Okay.
It was bad, but it was good. But it was, if I did, I would have been in the top 97.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Been on top paper. 100. On paper, I am a wonderful Soul Calibur player.
Put that in your Twitter bio now. Be like, hey, what's up? It's your boy Adrian, top 200 Soul Cal player.
I'm never gonna put my actual name though. Like the name I entered into the tournament with. I will never put that anywhere. You'll never find out who I am.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't want the DQs to show up. I just want to be in the top 200.
Well, you know the brackets are public, right? And you gave away your ranking.
But they don't know who I am, though.
Yeah, but...
You know, we're going to move on because somebody else won some good stuff at Evo. You know, okay. Money was given to every game. From Soul Calibur to Tekken to Street Fighter, you know, $5,000 to $10,000. But the wonderful, and we have to say, every game had about 500 people in it, except for Street Fighter, which had close to 1,000, and Smash Bros. Smash Brothers had the most out of all the games, over 1,000 people. And the winner the winner got a golden controller.
That's offensive. I can't remember if we talked about it. I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or we talked about it just privately.
Yeah.
But that's offensive. Especially if you're trying to be a pro gamer, which is slowly becoming what it already is. But I mean, like, that's how people make their living. People make money from pro gaming, and that's how they pay the bills. That's how they buy food. That's how they support their family if they have one. It's their job. And they need the winnings to you know, support themselves. Similar like a baseball player, a pro baseball player gets paid just for playing baseball. I don't want to say just for playing baseball, but you know, a pro baseball player gets paid. You know,
sponsorships and things like that. Yeah.
Pro gamers the same way. But in Japan is messed up for esports. That's an entirely different conversation entirely, like right now. But you know, Smash Bros. Winner gets a controller, which, as last time I checked, can't pay bills with that.
No, it's golden. I can't remember if it was signed by Sakurai, the man himself, but the guy on stage, he accepted the controller, and they're taking pictures and everything, and he drops it just on accident, just butterfingers the controller, because it was in a box too. And he just dropped it, and everyone's like, oh. Pick it up. Wait, where is it? It was a funny moment.
When you told me that he dropped the controller on stage, I thought he did it intentionally as like a protest or something. Like, nope, I don't need your controller.
Bump your controller. I got more.
Like, what is he like legit? Like, what are you gonna do with that? What are you gonna do with that? Like, oh, thanks. I have one. It's how I practice to get here. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's put it up for decoration. And the thing is like Japanese players, whether they know it or not, are very much, and I'm not going to say this for all Japanese players, but I don't think he was actually upset by it, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that's like a cultural thing, like for him to display that in his room or house or wherever is actually enough, because he might just be working another job. It's like you said, because they can't make a living off of it.
He must be having another job.
Yeah, so this is actually good, you know? It's better than nothing.
Yeah. Like I said, the esports industry in Japan has a ton of problems, and that's entirely a different conversation. But at the end of the day, you know, good job to all the Evo competitors. You know, congrats to all the winners. You know, fighting games have been around for a long time, and they'll continue to be around, so...
Yeah, you know. And just to close that off, I gotta say, overall, if you can actually make it to Evo Japan anytime, it was a very fun time, good venue, everything was, you know, enjoyable to the max. Lots of arcade cabinets out on the floor with old fighting games. You could even play, you know, newer fighting games like Street Fighter V, and you know, it's Japan, so the lines were nice and organized. But Guilty Gear Strive was there. That was a lot of fun. Granblue. Yeah. Granblue wasn't there. So Psygames wasn't there.
But... Well, that game is out in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't know why they weren't at Evo. Probably because there wasn't enough space. It was only one hall in the Makuhari. So it's a little bit small, but hopefully next year it gets bigger and we can enjoy more fighting games. Yeah. Ghost in the Shell. That's not even a transition. I just read it off the list.
Ghost in the Shell. Cool.
Ghost in the Shell, Netflix. The new trailer dropped. Now, before anyone goes, oh my goodness, Ghost in the Shell, it's amazing, or goodness, they screwed it up with the Scarlett Johansson thing. Mm-hmm. And this one is, yeah, it's all CG done by Netflix. And Netflix anime, for some reason, they love to do CG. I do not know what it is. Beastars, CG, Levius, CG. Anything before that also CG, except for Carolyn Tuesday, which that wasn't them, but in America, no. You may be thinking it's them. But anyways, I don't know what it is. Every time it looks crappy, but this time I will say, after watching the trailer, I think it looks good.
Okay, good.
I think they have the original staff from Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, working on it along with
Production IG, right?
And with Production IG, and Sola Digital is doing the kind of, I guess, some of the 3D or helping out with it. And they've worked on Blade Runner 2022, which is a short, Appleseed as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's really interesting how this has come together. I think the trailer sets up for another actually really nice Ghost in the Shell story.
I mean, I saw the trailer. It looks really good. I've literally never seen Ghost in the Shell before. And what? I know it's... Yeah, really.
Hold up. I'm not gonna... What?
I haven't seen it.
None of them?
I saw Appleseed, but I didn't see Ghost in the Shell.
But okay, did you like Appleseed?
Yeah. No, it was good. I saw Appleseed when it, you know, came out originally, which at this point was, what, 15 years maybe?
15 years, yeah.
Maybe more than that. I think if you go back and you look at Appleseed now, you'll be like, oh, the 3D really looks like it's 15 years old.
It does.
But it was really good for its time. And I can, looking at the trailer, I can see the DNA there.
I'm just so shocked you haven't watched Ghost in the Shell.
I haven't seen the movie. I haven't seen Standalone Complex. I haven't seen the other ones, whatever
second,
it is.
Second Gig.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I haven't watched Arise.
So I didn't see Arise either. So.
So, I mean, this one, I think people are looking forward to it. I did see on the trailer there were about like 4,000 likes, but then 1,000 dislikes on the YouTube video. Okay.
Sure.
And which actually sounds about right. You know, people do not, they're skeptical when they see CG and anime for good reasons. So we're going to be looking forward to that. That starts in April this year on Netflix. Of course, it's going to be available worldwide, so everyone can get a chance to look at that. Hopefully it's good. I have high hopes. And next up, we have in the news, Monster Hunter Riders.
This got announced like, what, 2 days ago or something? So I was like laying in bed, and then I saw like something called, I saw a logo for Monster Hunter Riders. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And I like watched the trailer, and I was like, oh, this looks good. Why is the screen perspective like portrait, like as if it's on a phone?
Because then
So Capcom announced a brand new mobile game called Monster Hunter Riders. It has a similar art style to Monster Hunter Stories, I think it's called.
Right,
for the 3DS. The one that was on 3DS, exactly. So similar art style. If you know what that is, then it's just more of that. But now it's on your phone. And I got to say, in terms of just gameplay and animation and overall visual appearance,
it looks good.
It looks really good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a mobile game, so
gotcha.
We know how. Yeah,
oh man, that's how they should do every gotcha game at the end. Just say gotcha and start laughing.
That's like the evil, like a Kafka laugh from FF6.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
So it's gonna have I think it will have microtransactions, but is it gonna be playable completely? Like, do you need to spend money? I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
I'm not gonna play it.
Yeah.
I think like with any of the kind of gacha games, and what gacha really means is it's just a term for when you pull not pull the lever. How, what would you call it? Like in America, when you put 25 cents in a
turn the crank thing
and you'll get like a capsule with maybe your favorite toy in it or not.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's gotcha. And so the game works around the mechanic of you need certain items and you need to open treasure chest or whatever that you earn that you get by fighting through levels and up, you know, just like any other type of rare drop. And you just pray you get them. Just gotcha, you know.
The problem with gacha games, though, is that like it's not just cosmetics. In fact, it's very rarely cosmetics. It's always equipment or actual just full on playable characters.
It's and almost everything.
A lot of like the good characters will be locked behind gacha, so
behind a less than 1% drop rate.
So you can't really like, I would say like compete. Unless you have the high-end characters, which are always going to be rare drops, and to get those you either have to spend a lot of money or you have to save up free currency if the game has that, and then
for about a month
almost
a month
enroll.
So it's one of those things where you can enjoy the first little bits of the game, kind of the introduction, because at that point they're just giving you free things like, oh, here's more materials, here's this is how you play the game. But then once those training wheels are gone, you're into full gacha mode, and you start to realize, I really want this character, but I'm stuck with this character or this weapon or this monster. You know, this is how it is.
Right.
Yeah. But one thing we're not stuck with, because we're going to get some of this, aren't we, Alex? We're going to get this McDonald's Gohan burger. And
Gohan as in the Dragon Ball character. It's a Dragon Ball collaboration.
We're gonna eat Gohan this time.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
You can explain this. This is your forte, McDonald's.
Well,
man.
McDonald's. Yeah, you're right. So the Gohan, obviously it's rice if you didn't know, but so McDonald's is coming out with a limited burger where they just take the patty, the bread, and they have swapped it with Japan's favorite staple food.
Rice.
Yeah, so they'll take like rice patties and put a burger between two of them, and then they're selling that as a burger, which I guess they're calling the Gohan, like,
Gohan burger.
Yeah.
Gohan burger.
We were talking before the podcast, but you said Mos Burger, which is a competing fast food chain, had this, or they have this.
They had this or something similar to it. And Mos Burger, they tend to have not a variety of like junk foody like burgers. They kind of skew healthier, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think Mos Burger has that image in Japan where it's the local quote unquote alternative. And the tastes skew a little more to what a Japanese person might want. The burgers are a little smaller. The ingredients are fresh. They're like local, you know, in quotation marks. Well, I mean, they're from Japan.
They're from Japan. But they are definitely smaller sized.
Mm-hmm. So McDonald's is McDonald's. It's the juggernaut company of the world. And in Japan, they have limited burgers every couple months. And I guess now in February, it's going to be the Gohan burger.
We get this Gohan. So we got to try
it.
I mean, yeah, we got to get it and try it out. I mean, last time the Black Hot was really good.
The Black Hot from KFC is still so good. Like, I love that thing, man.
Black Hot, that creamy mayonnaise, man. Oh my goodness, mayonnaise.
What did you just say? The mayonnaise?
Yeah, I said it in a Japanese way.
Kind of a Japanese way, but yeah.
But yeah, the black pepper was really good. I think there was like a little honey mustard in it too. Like, it was just a good sauce on that.
I mean, I'm telling you guys, if you're in Japan right now, or you're going to be in Japan,
get it while it's here.
Yeah, head to a KFC and get a Black Hot burger. It's like really good.
Get that Black Hot. But the cream pie was a letdown just because like the cream was...
No, it wasn't really that good.
Yeah, it was just I don't know. It was like if you wanted an apple pie, but it wasn't hot.
Yeah.
And it was just there.
So we went to... I think, oh my God, it's late. It was like 10 or 11 maybe. It was like 11, right?
It might have been 11 or so, yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, let's go. I was like, let's go to McDonald's and get some cream pies. And it just wasn't that good.
Yeah. We have to say we lied on the video. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as the Black Hot. Not nearly as good as the Black Hot. So we got to try the Gohan.
Yeah, I gotta say, the cream pies are only 150 yen. And for 150 yen, sure, they're fine. They're good. For 150 yen...
For 150, yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
But if you're expecting, like, a legitimate pie, I would say look elsewhere.
You heard it first, everyone. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Alex says, get your cream pie elsewhere. Get your pie elsewhere.
Yeah. Also, in Japan, though, they're the Oreo cafe mocha. The only... McCafe will have the Oreo roll cake and the Oreo cafe mocha, but not all McDonald's have a McCafe in it. Like, off the top of my head, I can only think of the one in Roppongi.
Oh, like, okay. I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. There are other McCafes like around the country. I think I must have seen one just, you know, in Kansai or something. But at least in Tokyo, I can only, at least right now, like, remember the Roppongi one. We were there. You remember that one.
It had like 100-something seats. I mean, it was big.
Yeah. So the first floor was like the McCafe, and this McDonald's had a friggin' elevator in it. I'm not kidding. It was a stupid elevator.
There was an McDonald's. Elevator.
Yeah. And then the second floor was like the legit McDonald's, and that had so many seats. It was crazy.
McDonald's here is a joy. It's a blessing.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been to Roppongi and had a little McDonald's hankering, you might have been to it, or if you are a tourist and you've been to Roppongi, maybe you went to it. But one has a McCafe. You can get that stuff there.
And I just have to add, like, when they do the big America burgers, that's when I get really excited, because I get to see
how they see America.
Like, the Miami burger was literally like a taco. It was a taco burger. I remember eating this crap.
I love that one. Okay, so McDonald's hasn't had the America burgers for a long time.
Mm.
But they had them in 2010. I mean, we were talking last week how we were in Japan.
Maybe 2013, 14, 15, somewhere in there.
Yeah, but my favorite burger was the Miami burger, and as you mentioned, it was like eating a taco, because it was just like a taco meat.
and they had
tortilla chips. Yeah, there was tortilla chips on it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man! And the Idaho burger was literally a hash brown patty, on top of your normal meat patty. Like, what?
Yeah. So I thought it was dumb. So when I got the Idaho burger, I was like, "This is stupid. Like, this is dumb. Why would I want a hash brown on my burger?" And then I was like, "Oh, actually, it's kind of good."
I mean, it was strange. It's like, I get it. Idaho is known for potatoes, but this is just another level. But anyways,
What was the Texas burger? It was just like
I can't remember.
Barbecue sauce, right?
Barbecue sauce or something, if I remember.
Yeah.
Was there a Manhattan burger too? Like,
oh, there was.
Oh man, because there's like about six of these burgers, if I remember, between the part one and part two they've done.
Yeah.
It's insane, man. McDonald's here, if you can ever come, you will tell yourself you don't want the same old thing, and trust me, you won't get it. You'll get something better.
That's the one thing that I really like about McDonald's in Japan, is like the limited burgers that I do every month.
They're very different.
I know, and it's just their sneaky way of getting you to come back. Like, I'm not a huge McDonald's fan, despite what people may think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, oh, it's, you know, I really like McDonald's, but I just like the limited burgers, because every month there's something to look forward to.
See, ladies and gentlemen, that's prime reason to come to Japan.
Yeah, McDonald's. Not even just McDonald's. Like, it's everywhere. Like, this mentality of gente, limited items, gente kikan, limited items. This mentality is everywhere in Japan. So, you know, other restaurants will have gente items. A convenience store like 7-Eleven will have, like, let's say a gente nikuman, like a meat bun, where it's not like a meat bun, it's like a curry bun, for example, or
butter
chicken.
Don't get me started. I have a very sad story about
butter chicken.
No, about this. We're going to go too long about this. Everyone, bear with us. I'm going to tell this story, and we're going to close out the podcast.
All right, yeah.
So there was there's a bread that's only really sold or ate in school. It's called agepan. Fried bread.
Yeah.
Which is really basically like a donut. They put so much powdered sugar.
It's really good.
topping on it. It's good.
It's really good.
You can't find it at a lot of bakeries. And like I said, it's only really in school as like a school lunch food. So the convenience store, there was this drama that happened and they had a special, you know, limited edition Kinako, which I don't know. Is that brown sugar?
No, Kinako is made from soybeans.
Okay. Well, it was a soybean. Yeah. Oh gosh. It was so good. Soybean topped on, you know, powder topped on.
It's a lot more delicious than what it sounds, but yeah.
Yeah. It was so sweet, so good. I went to the convenience store, bought it every day. I bought two a day because I'm like, this better never go away. And 2 weeks, 2 weeks later, it was gone.
It's gone.
It was gone. It's always 2 weeks almost. It's always 2 weeks.
That's how I feel about vanilla Coke in Japan, which is also limited.
There's strawberry Coke now. I got some today.
It's strawberry. Is it Coke? Yeah, it's a strawberry Coke.
It's weird. The strawberry is actually legitly too sweet. It's too sweet. It's too sweet. And it tastes like...
I was going to buy some today.
You should try it. It tastes like if Coke decided to become Pepsi. It doesn't have like that Coke taste to it, but that...
Can you taste the strawberry though? Can you taste the strawberry?
Yeah, strawberry is 100%.
Oh,
it's like, it's like some weird strawberry Fanta or something.
I was looking at it today, like literally like 2 hours ago. I was like, oh, strawberry Coke, huh? And then I was like, nah, better not. And then I didn't.
You only got probably 1 or 2 weeks left, so you better get it now.
Yeah.
You better get it. And with that, we're going to wrap up the show. It's been a great show. I think we're trying new things. I'm going to edit this a little bit differently than normal.
Yeah, he's going to do it drunk.
That's differently than normal, but hopefully when we're trying to, you know, make the show more entertaining for you all. And if you have any feedback, just let us know on our Twitter or even Instagram at UGP_cast. You can leave a voice message for us on our Anchor page and we'll read that, of course, on the show. Or if you just want to just let us know, like, hey, do this better or don't do that. You know, we're always looking to get in the ears of more people and create a better show for you. So that's...
Here's the thing. If you guys make a voice message, if you send in like a theme song, we'll use that as our next opening theme song.
We'll probably use that as all the opening theme songs until someone dethrones you. But yes, that's actually really good incentive. Good job.
It's a good job. Yeah, just don't make it like racist or something. But
yeah, please.
But we'll do it.
Please make it game themed if possible. And
yeah,
even if you want, you know, for the ending song, we know we have both of those available, or even the break if you want something to break. So
sure, you know, give us an awesome jingle.
If you're creative, we're looking for jingles. We're looking for songs to play during the breaks or before, after, intro, exit. But yes, that is it, everyone. Remember, you can follow us and on Twitter. Spread the word to your friends. Let them know. And I think that's going to do it for this week. Remember, you only have so much time left on the earth. RIP Kobe Bryant. I just had to, you know, because, you know, you never know. So
live today like it's your last today.
There you go. So everyone.
That's a saying, right?
I think so. If not, then it's your saying. Today, like it's your last.
Today. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Sounds good, everyone. So enjoy your life and play more games. Remember, you set the tone, and we're out. Till next week.
Yep. Peace.